And welcome to the NLP of Money Recordings. This is number 11. So I'm going to start today with reading some of the requests. This is really good stuff. And we're going to call this recording here, I've got a couple things, The Pitchfork of Possibility, The Multiple Money Minds, and How an Ancient Chinese Secret Fighting Art Factors into All Sorts of Good Stuff, like Making Money. So here we go. Let me just shrink this bit for a second. I now have more money than I've ever had, and I want to find a way to have a healthier relationship with it so I don't waste it. I'm also looking for a way to be more creative about making money. He says about his current job is a pretty good gig, but I don't think I'm built to do it for more than 8 or 10 years. I'm considering the future and how I will make money as well as how I will handle it. So, let's dive in right there. So, there's a really wonderful theory that's currently out there, and it reflects a lot of old ancient Native American wisdom as well, that we have multiple minds. And I want to explore the multiplicity today. I may have just made that word up. We'll find out. We'll Google it afterwards. Would you remind me to do that? Excellent. So, here we go. So, when we focus on... See, your mind is designed to... Gosh, honest to goodness, our mind is possible of parallel processing and multitasking. And one of the things that we want to do is we want to utilize that capacity well. And one of the ways which our culture almost never does it, thanks to marketers, is we focus on good, bad, right, wrong, heaven, hell. In other words, we create double binds that really limit us. And so what I want to do is I want to nail some double binds that are in this bit, because we all have them. And my friend's request here is just really, really cool. So let me dive into this again real quick. So I want to find a way to have a healthier relationship with it so that I don't waste it. I'm also looking for a way to be more creative about making money. Let me skip a little bit ahead. I'm considering the future and how I will make money as well as how I will handle it. What's really cool, when we consider a way... or the future, literally we're, it's going to be a good future or a hellish future, okay? I need to find a creative way to make money. You know, literally, the way our language is reveals how our mind processes bits, or really, it might be how our minds process bits. So, what I want to do is I'm going to start this recording with just having that kind of an understanding. So, what we want to do is instead of having either or, yes, no, good, bad, so on and so forth, I want to build on a model that was developed by David Hawkins. I really love David's work. If you haven't read Power versus Force yet, pick it up. It's a little bit of a dry read, but it's absolutely essential. So what David did, among other things, he divided things into two, because that's what we do in our culture. We divide things into two, okay? That's just what we do. So David divided things into two, because that's where we start. And he divided things into the realms of force and the realm of power. Now, the thing is, there's multiple levels of force. Guilt, anger, fear, desire, pride, all those bits. They have a reverse spin, and they literally take energy and take life force away from you. Because it literally puts life outside of you. In other words, if I hadn't done, if I do, all sorts of things. We're basing our potential, our happiness, our capacity to love and be loved, make money, accumulate money on something outside of us in the levels of force. So on the levels of power, on the other hand, the levels of power include acceptance, forgiveness, reason, love, joy, peace. When I can be at peace when I can be at peace with what I say in these recordings, I get to go, okay, I may not have said it perfectly the first time through, but I can say it a little bit more perfectly now. And honest to goodness, that may be the way that the person needs to hear it as well. Going from where they are to where they're going requires multiple steps. That's, again, something that's pretty obvious and pretty simple. But to build this into this recording, to start to play with this a little bit, again, let's start with this idea of, I'm considering the future. I'm looking for a way to be more creative. We've got this capacity on singulars, and having capacity on singulars you know, Richard Bandler, when I was working with Richard, you know, often said, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? Do you want to be right or do you want to be wealthy? When we go into a double bind, what we're essentially doing is, well, do you want to buy the product or suffer forever because you never are, you know, because you didn't? You know, literally, that's what bad selling and that's what bad marketing is about. It doesn't mean that it doesn't make any money. I'm just saying marketing or selling that puts us in mindsets that are not all that healthy. So one of the things that, again, I want to start exploring here, and we're just going to spiral around some bits because spirals are pretty cool. Changing the language a tiny little bit allows the mind, allows your minds to start working together. So let's try this on. So let's start asking some questions like, let me dive in here. I want to find ways to have healthier relationships with money. I want to find ways to have healthier relationships. Check this out. So in the email that I've received already, it reveals to me that there is a healthier relationship than there previously was. So I want to find more ways to improve my relationship. I want to find more ways. I'm choosing to find more ways to improve the health of my relationship. I choose to find more ways to continue to have a healthier relationship. Tiny little wee bits help us realize that it's not a healthier relationship in the future that I want. It's noticing, yeah, you know, my relationship now is healthier than it was 6 months ago, a year ago, 10 years ago, growing up, you know, poor, moving to middle class, so on and so forth. So we want to notice the power of little words like more. I want to find more ways. I choose to find more ways to have a healthier relationship, to have healthier relationships with how I spend money, how I save money, how I earn money, how I receive money. This other tiny little bit, I'm also looking for a way, by the way, looking. Let's talk about three minds. We've got a visual mind, an auditory mind, and a kinesthetic mind. When I was teaching a little gig down in Melbourne, I was talking about you have three minds when it comes to trading. You have a enterer, a manager, and an exiter. And if we consider them as three minds, what we get to do is have them work together as a mastermind. So one of the things here, okay, let's assume you have three minds, and they can work together in perfect harmony toward a common objective. As a mastermind, that's a loose rendition of Napoleon Hill's definition of a mastermind. I'm looking for a way to be more creative about making money. So looking is one of the minds. Looking for a way to be more creative is one thing. If we're looking for a way, we tend to be looking for what the right way may be. And whether or not we notice that consciously, it does produce a stress in the mind. Versus four, I'm seeking ways to be more creative about making money. I'm seeking ways opens up the thinking to all three minds. I'm seeking more ways to be more creative about making more money. Notice how that sentence rolls. I'm seeking more ways to be more creative about making more money. So if I'm seeking more ways, that enables your mind to not just look, but enables your mind to also hear and feel as well. I'm going to pause this for just a second and close the window. I'll be right back. All right, so Jeff's out there with the leaf blower. Good morning, Jeff. Good morning, Mr. Wilson. Anyway, right, so let's dive back in. So we're looking at more ways to be more, we're seeking, okay, like NFI. See, I can go back to looking. How fascinating is that? By the way, you can also go back to looking. That's okay. We have preferred rep systems. A rep system is visual, auditory, kinesthetic. In other words, how does the brain primarily think? How does it begin to think? So looking for ways to be more creative about making more money, that's cool. Seeking more ways and being more creative about making more money. Again, just notice those tiny little bits. Again, seeking opens us up to really noticing and integrating hearing and feeling as well. So honest to God, that makes a difference. I got to pause for a second and take a deep breath. And we're back. Coffee is wonderful. Anyway, so, okay, back to I'm considering the future and how I will make money, as well as how I will handle it. Again, considering the future allows us to really create a scenario It could be a good scenario or a bad scenario. Okay, remember, the mind likes, let's call it parallel processing, parallel paths. We could call it yes, no, good, bad, right, wrong. I'm considering the future. Well, if I make the right decision, I'll have a good future. If I make the wrong decision, I'll have a bad future. And then we get to experience this thing called pressure. In the earlier recordings, we explored Karangal Gully and flow. Honest to God, there's such a massive difference between pressure and flow, and our culture is addicted to pressure. Why? Because we are, yada, 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 all that good stuff. And we pretend that we want flow. But honest to goodness, once we experience it, we get to go, how can I add pressure into this so that I can get along with all the other monkeys? So let's just take a deep breath and let go of that. And think about Jeff and his leaf blower. Good morning, Mr. Wilson. Anyway, so I'm considering the future. You know, I'm considering the futures. Let's check this out. So I'm working on a course right now. It's a $97 course. It'll be an 8-week course, something like, or a 9-week course. Something like killfeardead.com. Killfeardead.com, yes, crass commercial message, KILLFEARDEAD.com, is all about killing fear in about 8 weeks. Will it kill it entirely? Hell no. Yeah, but it'll definitely loosen up the grip that it has on you, and that's a good thing. So here's the deal. So I can make an 8 or 9 week course and charge $97 for it. That's the future. On the other hand, I can make multiple futures with that and engage multiple possibilities. I can turn that into an 8-week interactive course with the multiple coaching sessions and charge $497 or $297 for it. I can turn it into an 8-month or 9-month training that goes a lot more in-depth, you know, using the same basic materials but going a lot more in-depth, and charge $1,000, $2,000 for it. That's the difference between yes, no, right, wrong, the future and how I'll handle it, versus, because if I make a good decision, I'll have a good future. If I make the wrong decision, I'm totally fudge-sickled, and so on and so forth. So, multiple. The brain, by the way, does this. The brain does this, the mind does this naturally. The problem, one of the main problems that we have is we live in a culture that's, if we had to focus on the environment while we were shopping for food, think about the old days. In the old days, we went out into the woods and we gathered food, or we killed food and we brought it back. If we weren't aware, in other words, if we allowed our mind to wander, we would become food. So that's part of our biology, that's part of our neurology. And so what do we do now? We go to the Safeway, and we go shopping at the Safeway to get food. And while we're at the Safeway, we daydream about all sorts of things like, what happens if I get hit by the bus? What happens if somebody steals the car? What happens if somebody steals my buggy? What happens if I, like, you know, twitch and somebody thinks I'm winking at them and they pull out a gun? And you know, we imagine all this crazy shit because we're not tuning into our environment. And if we tune into our environment, we get to notice natural lessons. And natural lessons, I just got an email this morning. And this one fellow says, hey, I want to learn more about the native ways, and he's talking about bits. And I email him back. I says, look, whatever you choose to learn, the first thing that I want you to do is to notice nature. And I told him a little bit about my path. And my path was pretty simple. But one of the biggest, most powerful things was learning the importance of noticing nature. Because if I notice nature, there is no fear in nature. There is no guilt in nature. There is no suffering in nature. There's pain, but there's no suffering. There's a huge difference and a necessary distinction there. Another thing that I notice in nature is that I'm always provided for. I've got to work for it. I've got to go out and gather the berries or hunt the dinner or gather the firewood. But we're always provided for. What we need is always there. What I learned from a medicine man in Ohio was literally as you walk up to the hut, as you walk up to the house, you notice the plants that are growing outside. They're going to tell you a tremendous amount about the people inside the dwelling, because what you need always grows close to your home. And it's not just in plants, but literally, you know, he and I would walk into a house and they would think we were psychic, because we could say, literally, look, the person who lives here is suffering from depression, they've got an anger issue, and we would just gather all this stuff, noticing the plants outside. And one of the keys is, you know, is not, there's no judgment going on about them at all, and there's no psychicness going on about them at all. It's just noticing, here's the big picture. And we encourage them to take advantage of, to utilize to have appreciation for the fact that there's this big cheese bit that puts everything that you need right around you at all times. Now the key is, while we're considering possible futures and we're considering possibilities in the future, we get to notice possibilities now. In other words, we take a walk outside and we look at the plants in the garden, we look at the plants in the yard. We just notice all around us there are creative ways. Again, if we're just looking, that's one thing. If we're noticing, that's another. A percentage of people, if I say noticing what's around us, are immediately going to imagine themselves looking around. Other people who are primarily auditory, if I say notice what's around you, they'll start just paying attention to hearing. Like that godforsaken leaf blower that Mr. Wilson's playing with across the street. Good God. But we get to notice possibilities. We get to notice literally everything. And again, if we shift from looking to noticing, we're engaging more minds, literally the visual mind, the auditory mind, and the kinesthetic mind. So, let's shift gears a tiny little bit to a ancient Chinese secret fighting art. We'll call it Bagua. In Bagua, there are at least eight of something. Let's just... If you Google Bagua, if you're not familiar with it, P-A-G-U-A or B-A-G-U-A, just look it up on YouTube, check out some videos. It's one of the most beautiful fighting methods on the planet. And one of the reasons why I want to toss it into here is, it applies and it's a passion of the fellow who requested the recording. Now, what's nice about Bagua is that it's not, there's so many options. But none of them are stand there and get hit. None of them, there's just so many options that you have in the training bits. And so, literally, what I want you to do is to begin to think that way. Around money and around wealth and around literally everything. So, we'll just toss it in and see how it comes back. So, let me break down some more bits. I've got some tiny little notes. I do a couple things here. One, I look at the email and I notice the content. Two, I look at the email and I pull out the process. Three, I notice the patterns that are built around the process. Again, looking at involves one of the three minds, visual, auditory, or kinesthetic. Seeking, noticing, engages all three minds. We also talked about masterminds. When two or more minds work actively together in perfect harmony toward a common objective, we have a mastermind, something massive, something amazing results whenever that happens. When I work with the traders and I show them, look, you've got this thing called an enterer, a manager and an exiter. We'll just call them three different minds. And when all three minds work in perfect harmony toward a common objective, taking a trade actually gets a little bit fun and a lot more profitable. So, let's talk about the money minds. If we talk about the pitchfork of possibility, again, we started out with that as a little phrase at the beginning. Considering the future, it's not just positive or negative if I make the right decision or the wrong decision, but what possibilities do I want to build into my future? And the possibilities, like I said, I have one project I'm working on that I'll probably take in at least three different directions. I've got another project I'm working on. I'll probably turn into a not only just a project for the client, but also a training course, and maybe a coaching program. Who knows? But I like taking one thing and working three bits with it because it really helps me explore it much more thoroughly, live it much more completely, and engage much more possibility through it. So our multiple money minds. Let's talk about three money minds. We've got the maker, the saver, and the spender. So literally, let's just try that on. It's not I'm good at making money, I'm good at spending money, I'm shit at saving money. But what if we've got three minds, a maker, a saver, and a spender? And what I want you to do, there's a couple ways we can play with this. Let's just assume, by the way, we have a phrase in our culture, and we say, well, I have to make up my mind about this, or I haven't made up my mind yet. What a weird phrase, and it almost always is accompanied by tension. On the other hand, if we have three minds, imagine if you took three chairs, and you arranged them in a triangle, and one of them was the maker mind, one was the saver mind, and one was the spender mind. And you got to not only move from chair to chair and explore those minds, you got to basically be the one who coordinates the meeting. In other words, you coordinate the mastermind with those three stools. Okay? So, one of the things you can do is you can set three stools in a room. And we can call them the maker, the saver, and the spender. Okay, if we were teaching traders this, we'd call them the enterer, the manager, and the exiter, perhaps. But we've got three stools. Let's arrange them in a triangle. And then we get to name the maker, the saver, and the spender. Why not? Give them names, something to do. By the way, you hear voices in your head, we can call that thinking, or auditory in your head, we can call that thinking. What if you had three voices in your head about making, saving, and spending, and instead of them having to be at war with one another, because, well, you know, that tends to be what happens when we don't have a mastermind, we could actually name them and see if we can talk to them and get them to work together. By the way, third bit, we could actually draw them out. You know, some people who are more visual might want to, like, do some pen and ink or pencil or watercolor. Draw them out. Why not? Yeah. By the way, drawing them out is pretty powerful. You know, anytime we draw something out, again, it's a nice little ambiguous phrase as well. It enables us to really get a handle, get a grip, and start to set a direction. So if we have the three stools, the three minds, we literally draw them out, and we start, you know, literally talking to them. Again, you can coordinate the meeting between these three minds. Instead of making up your mind, you could basically form a mastermind and get these multiple minds within you to work in the same direction. Why not? Something to do. If you find this kind of thinking interesting, check out the book Incognito. Incognito. I forget who wrote it, but it's pretty good. He's got some interesting stuff there. He doesn't approach it like I do a whole bunch, but he approaches it. He brings enough scientific research into it that it's giving some validity to a lot of the stuff I've been sharing for a number of years. So, let me look this over again real quick. Okay, making, saving, spending. Let's talk about Hindu cosmology real quick. So, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. You know, making, saving, and spending. If you look at some of the Hindu mythology, you know, so they say basically there's three facets to the divine. The creator, the sustainer, and the destroyer. The creator, we could talk about creative ways to make money. You know, there's not just one thing that's created. Well, there is, but there's multiple facets to it. It's sustained in many, many ways, all interacting with one another. It's not about, there's no isolated bits. We're all intertwined in ways that are just fascinating. And the spender, the destroyer bit, again, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, if you can enjoy making, saving, and spending, all three, enjoys pretty high up there on David Hawkins' power chart, why do we want to build suffering into any of it? Our whole culture basically seems to be oriented towards worshiping martyrs. And I just get the biggest kick out of that. Versus, you know, really, you know, the Native Americans say that God is the spirit that moves within all things. The Hindus say the same kind of thing. If you look at almost any mystical process or mystical path, they say the same thing. So if there's this spirit that moves within all things, yeah, the web that has no weaver. One of the things that we get to do is we get to notice we really can embrace what we are. We really can embrace what's possible for us if we start noticing the double binds that we've put ourselves in. We talk about heaven or hell. Literally, most of us are in hell right now because we're choosing to worship struggle. And we're choosing to focus on separateness and pressure. And what we get to do is, again, notice this whole phenomenon called the double bind. I either hit or get hit. In Bhagwa, we get to notice that there's at least, there's so many beautiful ways that we can respond to an attack. And they're just absolutely gorgeous. And there's so many ways that we get to participate in life. You know, it's not just about... Our culture seems to be oriented toward trading time for dollars. And Tim Ferriss in the 4-Hour Work Week showed that we don't have to trade time for dollars. We can become exceptionally creative with our approaches to everything. You know, one of his most popular videos on the internet basically has to do with hard-boiled eggs. It's a fascinating, cute little video. But I tossed it into the mix because really, if we want to explore anything in life, what we get to do is basically step out a couple different levels. If we step out a couple different levels, we get to notice, again, they're requesting email. That the requesting email reveals something that is so common in just about everyone. And that is, we're looking at the world through double binds. And we don't have to have double binds. What we can have is literally, we can engage the possibility that we are, that we have at this point in time. And again, backing up to sort of start closing the recording down a little bit and reinforcing some of the loops, the good loops, I want to find a way to have a healthier relationship. Cool. If we remove once, I don't think we talked much in this program so far about modal operators. Once, like twos, need twos, we can eliminate some of those. And just notice, you know what, I'm finding ways to have healthier relationships. There's a statement that's pretty powerful. If you want to engage the power of questions, because questions set directions, I'm choosing to find even more ways to have healthier relationships with saving, creating, accepting, spending, so on and so forth. I'm looking for a way to be more creative. Again, this is how our culture programs us. So we can take the looking mind, keep that, because if we shift to seeking, I'm seeking ways. Seeking involves hearing, feeling, overhearing, seeing on the outside, seeing on the inside. I'm seeking ways. I'm accepting ways. I'm experiencing ways. How can I seek? How can I notice more ways? Again, the power of questions. How else can I notice more ways and be more creative about making money, saving money, spending money? One of the ways I saved money years ago was buying guns. I knew there'd be good investments at the time. You know, I've given the political climate in the U.S., so I bought a lot of guns. I did pretty well. So seeking ways to be more creative, noticing ways to be more creative, using ways to be more creative about making money, saving money, spending money. And back to, I'm considering the future. I'm considering the future. I'm considering my futures. I'm considering possibilities for the future. And again, I'm sort of reading into the good, bad bit, but generally with considering, it tends to be make the right decision, have a good one, make a wrong decision, have the bad one, versus, considering the future really is about participating in the present. How will we make money? How will we create money? How will we explore money? How will we spend it now? Like I said, the more I talk, literally, the more I talk about, I have one program that I'm going to spin with a $97 totally work on your home, work on it on yourself, on your own time angle. That's cool. If you want some coaching sessions, we'll bump it up to $297 or $497. If you want to make it a year-long intensive program, sort of almost like an apprenticeship, it'll cost significantly more. But all three will be the same basic program, so I can take one tiny bit of use right now, what I'm working with and working on, and turn that into a program that benefits me and a lot of people in at least three different ways. So, let me see how much time I have left here. So if I could close this NLP recording with one thing, let me clear my throat for a second. I'm back. It would be this. So we talked about either ors, we talked about double binds, we talked about the pitchfork of possibility, we talked about how the mind multitasks continuously. The mind will continue to seek threats and see things in a level of force until we give it enough options in a level of power. In other words, what am I willing to do? How am I willing to accept? When we look at true thinking and the level of power, it has to do with abstraction. Literally looking at anything and abstracting. We were in the kitchen this morning, and the thought of having a covered ashtray popped up because it's windy here in Tampa, Florida today. That's where I'm at physically right now. And so it's windy outside, and we talked about the possibility of having a covered ashtray. I'm immediately pondering what it would take to produce one and would it sell. And within an hour and a half, Victoria and I are outside smoking, and I'm using a beer bottle basically as a covered ashtray to drop my little cigarette ash in. She started using one out of the can or the bin. I picked it up and held it while I was smoking. The mind is fascinating, and literally the questions that we ask will determine the direction that it goes in. The questions that we ask will determine the direction that all of our minds go in. And I don't just mean your mind and my mind. But think about this again. Let's go back to the whole multiple mind bits. What if you treated your mind as if it were multiple minds? Just because the prevalent theory out there is that we have one mind and I must make it up, that causes a lot of stress. But every time I share a multiple mind model with people and share some tiny little exercises with it, as soon as they start playing with the tiny little exercises, they giggle. And one of the things that I notice is when there's a giggle, when there's a release, there's healing. When there's a giggle, when there's a release, there's an understanding. There's that, oh God, I can't believe I didn't get that before. Wow. A little bit of a giggle, a little bit of an opening. That's all good. That's all cool. So as we're playing with these bits and we're noticing, yes, you know what? What if we do have multiple minds? You know, entertain it as a theory. You know, it's only a theory that we have one mind, okay? And our language basically seems to put a squeeze on us when we do that. But if we consider, again, what is a mastermind? When two or more minds work actively together in perfect harmony toward a common objective, it gets a lot funner and a lot more productive. And what if you did have multiple minds? And what if you use those multiple minds using questions to engage possibilities instead of, oh, bugger, I better make the good decision now or else I'm going to be suffering forever. All that good stuff. So that's it. Whole bunch of good bits. I hope you enjoyed this. My name is Mr. 2020. This is the NLP of Money recording series. If you like the style, if you like what I do, visit innercircleproducts.com. We've got a ton of good stuff there, including this. And tell your friends. You know, the more people that find out about what we do, the more, yeah, I'm blessed, and I also get to bless other people. So that's it. Have a wonderful day. Thank you. See ya.